pray. We need God's help, don't we, as we come to his word to understand it and to apply it to our lives. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy in so many ways. Thank you for calling us together this morning to sit under your word. And we thank you for the gift of your spirit that you want us to give to enable us to hear and to understand and to believe. And so, Father, we pray that he be at work this morning as we listen. And would you help us to be the church that and the people that you intend as a result of what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, why have you come to church this morning? Maybe that you're here and you've come kind of to sort of look in to check us out. Great, that's brilliant you are here like that. But there's lots of other reasons as well. Why isn't it? Even those of us who come regularly, week by week, have you ever thought why you've come this morning? Why you're here? What are the reasons? Maybe it's to enjoy the fellowship. Maybe it's to be encouraged to worship God. But I imagine for most of us, it won't be in a question you ask this morning. Because for many, coming to church is just what you do on a Sunday. And that's what we want to think about this morning. Why we come. We're thinking about membership, in current series, and membership matters, about what are eight areas or eight commitments that we make to one another as members of the church for those who've chosen to become members. And today we are thinking about being a member, and this is what we commit to. With God's help, I will be a member committed to the fellowship and outreach of the church. I will seek to meet regularly on a Sunday and, where possible, to join a small group. So far in this series, we've been thinking about aspects of our own personal walk with the Lord Jesus and how we are committed to those, to being a learner who listens to Jesus and a follower who keeps going and keeps growing with Jesus. And they're important because we have an effect on the body. Each of us individually, in our own walk with the Lord Jesus, has an effect. We know, don't we, in our own bodies, if one part is unhealthy, it has an impact on the rest. My sister had a one leg shorter than the other, just a tiny bit. But over the time, it gave her gut problems because she was sort of standing slightly strange. So put an insole in the shoe and everything's right. The whole body needs to be healthy if we're to be a healthy body. So we've been thinking about those individual areas, but here we're thinking about our sort of commitment to one another. What does it mean to be a member committed to church, to the body? And I want to say to start with that I think overall, I think we are a committed church. Most people are here most weeks. That may be partly to do with the, sort of the nature of the church. We don't have a huge fringe with lots of people connected to it. But I think that is quite unique. So if I speak to my friends who are ministers elsewhere, for many people, if they come every other week, that is seen as good. With families distracted by children's parties and sports, those with caravans off each weekend or visiting grandchildren around the country. There's lots of things, isn't there? Lots of challenges to committing to church. But I praise God for us, for that commitment. So this is something we can thank God for and be encouraged by. And that's particularly encouraging in today's society, which has become increasingly sort of individualistic and consumerist. So ask anyone involved in any organization that trying to get people to help out or to run committees is a nightmare now, because people think, well, they don't feel that bond and loyalty to a group, and they think, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Why do I want to be the treasurer and put on all that hard work? And the church isn't immune to that. We must be aware that those pressures are true for us just as much as any other in a human organization. John Martin, who came to preach a couple of weeks ago, was speaking about their strapline of partners, not passengers, and of contributors, not consumers. So we're not to be those looking on and taking, but those who are involved, committed, and contributing. So it's good to spend some time thinking about our commitment as members and our motivation as members. So we can be protected from that, the temptation to sort of follow the sort of mindset of the individualistic consumer mindset, but also to check our own hearts of why we come, why we're here, rather than just turning up because it's what we do. Because in every aspect of life, God isn't bothered so much in what you do, but your reason for doing it. You ever thought about that? God isn't bothered about what you do, but your reason for doing it. So God says in the Old Testament, he talks about the Israelites who bring their sacrifices like they were told to do, and he says, I hate them. What I desire, the sacrifice I desire, is a lowly spirit and a contrite heart. So it's not that what we do, but why we do it, that matters. Because think about coming to church. There's lots of reasons why we might be committed to coming to church that have nothing to do with the gospel. So we might come for God's approval or favour because we think somehow he'll be kinder to us if we come to church. Or we might come for what other people think and their approval. Oh no, what will Leo think if I'm not there? Or what will so and so think? Or just so we don't feel guilty because we know we should be there and so we better go because otherwise you'll feel guilty. So you look committed for lots of reasons that may not be shaped by the gospel. So let's have a look at these verses that Heather read. And particularly I want to focus on the last couple and think what it means to be committed to one another. So let me just read verse 24 and 25 again. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So here the writer is coming to the end of his letter to this group of Christians who were being tempted to drift, to give up following the Lord Jesus. And his solution to that is to keep following Jesus, as we saw last week. To keep following him, but also to keep meeting together and in keep encouraging one another. So he starts in verses 19 to 22 to speak of the access that we have in Jesus, the access to draw near to God, the great privilege of what Jesus has done through his death on the cross of opening up the way to God, so that whoever we are, whatever we've done, we can have direct access to God, knowing nothing blocks it. And then he speaks about first, and then in verse 23, he goes on to look to the future. That not only do we have that confidence to enter into God's presence, to draw near to him, but also we have confidence for the future, a certain hope. And so that we're to keep going because of what Jesus has done. And we have these firm markers then, sort of, Jesus' death opening up way to God and the certain hope of what will happen in the future. But how are we to live in the present between those two things? What is the way that we're going to keep on going? That we're going to keep on drawing near to God and know that we'll be there on the last day? Well, by verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the way we'll keep on going, the way we'll keep on holding unswervingly, is together, by encouraging one another, by being committed to one another, by being part, by meeting together to do that. So let's see what he says in particular. And the first thing he says about how we're to do this is we're to do it corporately. We're to do it corporately. You see that all the way through, right from verse 19, actually. There's that repeated phrase, let us. All the way through, let us, let us, let us. You know the terrible joke. This is a rabbit's favourite passage, don't you? Because of all the lettuces. Well, why have we talked so much about being learners and followers as marks of membership? Well, because we are all in it together. It's not about me and how I am doing in my faith and my walk with the Lord Jesus, but how we are doing. I'm to be as concerned about how you are going in your walk with the Lord Jesus as about myself. And if I'm to keep on going, I need you to help me, to keep on encouraging me, spurring me on. I can't do it on my own. It's a corporate task. It says, let us. It's a command to each and every one of us. And it's for the benefit of each and every one of us. It's a wonderful thing, that, isn't it? That we're not called to walk the Christian life alone. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you haven't been able to be part of a church. And how hard it is. How easy it is to get distracted. To be tempted to give up. It's a real blessing and great gift of God to give us one another. So it's corporate. Secondly, though, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. Do you see that? It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. You see, it's not going to happen just if we turn up, if we just kind of rock up here without thinking how we may encourage one another. We are to come prepared as we gather together on a Sunday, midweek, as we meet up individually. We're to come prepared. We're to prepare our hearts. I don't know about you, but there's always a bit of a temptation. I try to spend a bit of time each morning with God, listening to, reading the Bible and praying. But Sunday mornings is always tough to do that. And there's always a temptation to think, well, actually, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to hear a sermon, we're going to pray there, so I don't need to. But actually, when you think about it, Sunday morning is perhaps the most important time to prepare our hearts. So that we come together with the right focus. Not on ourselves, but on the Lord Jesus. Coming not to thinking about all that's going on, but coming with our hearts ready to serve. To make sure that we're kind of in the right mood. So we're not coming grumpy or short. I don't know about you, but again, maybe it's just having children, but it always seems to be on Sunday morning we have the most stress getting out of the house. We get out to house for school every day of the week, but it always seems a challenge on a Sunday. And there's always stress and arguments. To pause and to prepare ourselves for church by bringing that to the Lord so it doesn't overflow into how we treat others in church. Really important. And also to check we've got the right motivation. To pause and to check our hearts that we're not coming out of guilt or obligation, but coming with an eagerness to meet with the Lord and to meet with his people. So we're to consider and be deliberate as we prepare our hearts. But also, we're to be deliberate as we plan our time. See, again, as we could come here to church and you get to the end of church and you think, what's happened? But to plan our time, to think about how will I encourage others at church. Do you ever come sort of with a sort of mental list of thinking who you would like to speak to? Conversations that you would like to have. It's good to do that. Maybe something that's been said in a midweek group that you want to pick up on. Maybe someone didn't understand something, or maybe they shared something and you want to just catch up with them and say, how's that going? Or did you understand? I didn't really understand that either. Or maybe someone's had a hospital appointment And so you want to make sure you look out for them, see how they're doing, how they're going with coping. Or maybe there was someone there, not there last week, so you think, I'll make sure if they're there this week, I'm gonna look out for them and just see how they're doing. Or the newcomer who came, and then making sure that you welcome them next week. Wherever we meet, whether on a Sunday or in a small group or just for a coffee or a drink together, we want to be thinking, how can I use this time best to encourage others, to spur them on to love and good deeds, to encourage them not to give up? Maybe that encouragement even starts before church. A call or a text on Saturday evening to encourage them to come. Encouraging them to be there. And finally, the other way that we can be deliberate and prepare is by praying. Praying for ourselves and others, as we said, for our own hearts, because it is a spiritual battleground, isn't it? There's no surprise that we find it more stressful to get out on a Sunday morning. It's no surprise that I find it harder to spend time with the Lord. You see, the devil knows how important it is for Christians to meet together. And so we'll try and do everything to stop it. So we need to pray against that. So we should be deliberate as we prepare and plan and pray about how we can encourage others. And then next, we are to be determined. But to be determined. See what it says? It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. We know what a spur is, don't we? That's what a jockey or a rider wears on the back of her riding boots to dig into the side of the horse, to encourage the horse forward. And that is what we're to be doing to each other, spurring each other on. Yes, sometimes we need an arm round the shoulder, a listening ear, just to be there. But actually, we need to be encouraging one another, spurring one another on. I need people to raise me from complacency, to push me to keep on going when I'm weary, to pull me back when I'm going the wrong way, and to guide me back to the right way. I need someone to do that. We all do. We need to be pointing one another back to the Lord Jesus and reminding each other of his word. And we're to keep on doing that. It's not just something we do once. We can get weary ourselves, can't we, of encouraging one another. But this verse is one where, as well as encouraging others, we need to encourage ourselves. Encourage one another to keep on persevering. It can be that you seem to have the same conversations again and again, don't you? You talk to people and they have the same struggles and make the same mistakes or respond in the same way, and it can get frustrating. And we need patience to keep on spurring one another on, to keep on encouraging one another. So we're to be deliberate and determined. Finally, next, we're to be committed. We're to be committed. You see what it says? It says, verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We are to be committed to not give up. It's not just talking about coming to church on Sunday or even attending a midweek group as well, as we sort of commit to do in the membership covenant. But we're seeking to be meeting together all times. It's a challenge, isn't it? How we sort of share our lives together. But there is a reason, right from the earliest days of the church, that Christians have gathered. Make sure they gather all together once a week on a Sunday. Why is that? Well, because they know the danger of drifting. we know that danger of giving up. So to have that time at least once a week where we are meeting together is key to keep us going, to lift our eyes from our own horizon up to the Lord, to lift our hearts and to stir our hearts with the gospel so we leave rejoicing, to apply the forgiveness of the cross once again to our sin that week, and to pray for the Spirit's help to, as we go out into the world, to go and to live for Jesus' praise and glory. It's a sort of like a weekly dose that is the basic that we need. We need more so we want to meet at other times, but we need to at least make sure we're meeting each week to encourage one another. And it is so easy, though, isn't it, to get out of the habit of that. So easy to drift. Again, if you miss 1 week, it's so much more tempting, isn't it, to miss the next. Because after all, it doesn't seem to make much difference. I wasn't there. No one really noticed. I'm okay. I'm still trusting Jesus. It's made no difference. But I wonder if it's a bit like kind of chemotherapy medication. See, you have your regime of your pills that you're to take. Take one a week. And I guess if you don't take one, you don't see much effect. Actually, you most probably feel a little bit better because you haven't had to take it. But over time, stop taking it and you will get sick. And that's true of church. Stop taking it and you will find you'll get sick as you move away from the Lord Jesus. You'll not find a healthy Christian who doesn't go to church. And the less you come to church, the less healthy you will become. So we're to be committed in coming, but we're also to be committed to being here, not just in body, but in spirit. Being fully here, if you like, engaged. Because again, it is easy, isn't it? It's easy to turn up, to be here, present, and then to go away again, and to have not really engaged at all with what has been happening, or with one another. So a question to ask is, as you leave, did anyone notice me? Did my presence here have an impact on anyone? It's often a complaint that's made, isn't it? People grumbling about church. They say, well, I might as well not have been here. No one spoke to me. No one even noticed me. But if you're saying that, then actually, then you see that that's a rebuke of yourself. Because why did no one notice you? Well, precisely because you might as well not have been there. Because you've not inputted or had any influence on anyone else around you. So what difference is your presence at church going to make today? How have others been, or will others be impacted by you being here? How will they be encouraged? How have you spurred them on to love and good deeds? There's a saying, isn't there, that the more you put in, the more you get out. And that is certainly true of church. See, those who turn up early to catch up with others and to encourage them or to welcome people as they arrive, those who stay for coffee and commit to doing that, those who've prayed and thought about how they want to encourage others, are those who've looked to serve others. Well, they are the ones who will leave church more strengthened and more encouraged. More than if you arrive late and dash off as soon as the service ends and don't bother about investing in one another. See, being church is not just about Sunday gatherings. that we as a church maybe need to take that on board. We need to be thinking that and recognizing that, thinking how do we live church outside of a Sunday. But it is important, kind of microcosm, if you like. It is the most tangible expression of what we are to be as church. And so if we're not meeting and encouraging each other on a Sunday, if not as we gather here like this, if we're not investing in each other's lives, then we won't be doing it outside of a Sunday. So we started, didn't we, by asking, why are you here? Why have you come to church this morning? The fact that you are here is good, isn't it? But it's also good to ask, how and why have I come? You'll see we sort of have a little bit of homework for these series, and you'll see at the bottom of the back of the bulletin, there's a little question at the bottom. Little sort of area to fill in. I wonder if it will be good to think, even before you go home, when you get home, to think through that. So which of those four characteristics do you think will help you to be a better member? To remember the corporate aspect, that we're in it together. To be deliberate, planning and preparing about how you make the most of our time when we're gathered together. Perhaps more determined, not just to drift through and let conversations take their course, but asking questions, seeking to take an initiative in conversations. Or maybe to be more committed. Maybe it's you're here and you've got out the habits of coming regularly. Or maybe it's being more committed by turning up early, thinking that your church starts at 9:45 for a 10 o'clock start. Perhaps it's not just church, but also midweek. It's a commitment to a group. If you're not yet part of a small group and you want to be, do come and speak to me. So think, what's those four areas? Do you need to be more of? And then what would that look like in practice? Have a think through that and fill that in later on. You see, we are to be members, committed to the fellowship and to the outreach of the church. And we will want to be those who seek to meet regularly on a Sunday and, where possible, to join a small group. And as we do so, we want to be deliberate, determined, committed to one another. So that we may, as Hebrews puts it, spur one another on to love and good deeds and encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. I'm sure we all know that we need that. And if we need it, then others need it. And we're the people who can do it for them. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you call us to be, call Christians not to be lone rangers, but you call us to be part of a church together. And we thank you that we are the gift to one another, to enable us to persevere, to keep on going, and to keep looking forward and holding unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And so, Father, pray for brothers and sisters here. We pray that together we would be that blessing to one another, so that we will all be spurred on and encouraged and not given up. In Jesus' name, amen.